Paul Podcast Network.
Welcome to Arts on Air, a podcast featuring an eclectic mix of writers, artists, musicians, and other creative thinkers whose work explores dimensions of culture, spirit, community, and commitment. I'm Debbie Holton. Join me as I engage each about their own creative journey, their inspirations, and the one thing they feel is most important that we must know. Welcome. Hi, welcome to episode 6. My guest today is Professor Mary Jo Knights. Mary Jo received her PhD from the University of Chicago. She's been at the University of Missouri since 1980, and in 2007, she moved to the Department of Women's and Gender Studies. She's been engaged in ethnographic research on women in effervescent religions, first Catholic, Charismatics, and then Neo-Pagans. She's currently working on a new book, Encounters in the Heartland, Congregational Stories from a Post-Rural Perspective. Her research and specialization includes religion, gender, culture, and qualitative methods. We are here at the Mary festivities in honor of Patricia Monahan and Michael McDermott. We're celebrating their wedding at Bridget's Rest here in Black Earth, Wisconsin. And so let's hear what Mary Jo has to say.
I'm trained as a social scientist. Mm-hmm. And we always affiliated with the sciences. And I feel like that's a terrible mistake. So one of the things that is so exciting to me about this period is that I think that those boundaries, those old boundaries between sciences and social sciences and the arts are really breaking down, and there's an opening for us in the social sciences, in the human sciences, mm-hmm. to develop our skills in storytelling. And storytelling is so marvelous. Storytelling is the way to reach people not only through our rational, cognitive minds, but also through our emotions. And I think that if we as social scientists have things to say about the connections between community and spirit and the land, and I think we do, mm-hmm. that we have got to have the tools. We've got to have more than cognitive rational arguments. We have to have ways of connecting with people emotionally. And so for me, the exploration of storytelling and aesthetic ways of writing, aesthetic tools of making our writing more interesting and pleasing and not so off-putting and dull and boring is essential. So I am thrilled to have the opportunity to speak to people for whom writing itself is a craft and to learn from them.
How did you come to this perspective? Because obviously, being trained as a social scientist, this is not one of the major points that you
When I was in graduate school, people told me I wasn't a sociologist. My faculty peers, they said, well, we don't know what you are, but this is, you're smart, but this is not social science. But it seems to me that, for me, it's about audience. Mm-hmm. It's about who do you want to talk to? Do you want to talk to the three other people in your specialty who know those abstract jargony terms and who can do that esoteric? I mean, not that I don't want to, that's important, of course, but that's a very limited agenda. And I think that if you want to talk to a wider range of people, you have to develop ways of talking that people will understand and connect with. And I think storytelling is a narrative. I mean, that's the more technical language, but storytelling and putting ourselves in the story as not what I call the God voice. I mean, I feel like in social science, we're trained to write in the God voice, which is this very abstract, very, it's actually passive voice in the writing. The writing is passive voice, and it's very abstract, and it's like, I know everything, and I will tell you the truth, and it's coming down from on high. Well, that voice is a very distanced and distancing voice, and so to say, to put myself in the story and to say, look, this is who I am, and I am a person who's located in time and space, and from that position, I want to tell you what I see. That is the way to, I think, really be more honest, but and to write a story that connects with, that can connect with more people.
Do you have, I know you've encountered many stories. Is there a favorite story that kind of exemplifies what you're talking about? Can you tell us a story? It doesn't have to be a long story, but you know, I love hearing you talk about what you talk about. So I'm a little privileged, I guess, and I would like our listeners to have an idea of the richness that you're describing, that we have an opportunity to get. Just something that whatever walked across your head in the moment.
Well, I'll tell you a story about my own research. I was asked to be a part of a study of rural churches in Missouri, and I was working with a group of six other people in doing this project, and we were trying to figure out how to make this interesting, because when someone said to me, "What are you doing?" and I said, "I'm studying rural churches," people yawned, I have to say. And so I have to, so, but I had this experience one day. I had given a lecture to a group of pastors, and one of the pastors, I realized at the lecture, was someone who lived very near to me in my own community. And I was driving home from the meeting, and the pastor, I was thinking about having encountered the pastor in that setting. And I was thinking about his wanting to grow his church in the rural area in which I was living, and that his people from his congregation had brought cookies to my house, and they offered me their cookies, and they invited me through that offering to join their congregation, and I had thought as I was driving home that he wanted me to join, but he didn't really want me as a person. That he wanted more bodies in his congregation, but that if he knew who I was, that I was a lesbian feminist, that he didn't really want lesbian feminists in his congregation. And so it made me think about at first I thought I was feeling self-righteous about it. I was feeling like this is like, well, and he bought those cookies and I ate his cookies and he didn't really want me. And what does he think he's doing anyway? And then I thought about how there was a real disconnect between him and his church and wanting to grow his church and the fact that the community that we lived in was actually a fairly diverse community. And that... that we had to figure out ways to allow diversity and to if his church was going to grow in our community, he had to figure out ways to welcome people like me, and that I had to figure out ways to talk to people like him if I was going to kind of move beyond my own boundaries. And so so that little experience became very informative for my own thinking about the need to escape our bounded places where we feel safe. And that incident became something that I then worked into my research project and my telling. And so my study of rural churches became a study of encounter among people who have differences, and working out a way of being together, not by becoming the same, but by recognizing and respecting those differences. So that's that incident and that story became something that we worked into our whole project.
You're listening to Arts on Air on the DePaul Podcast Network. What gourd do you drink from that inspires you? What well do you pull the waters from that really gives you the kind of courage to address these issues?
Well, I am very, very lucky. I have many sources of support, and of course the fellows at the Black Earth Institute have been amazing for me it's making me think and supporting me. And the other thing is that I really feel called by the times that we're in. I feel like this is a critical time, and that and I also feel like I've been blessed, and so I could. But to sit back and only, stay in my own pasture. I don't even feel like that's a choice right now. I feel like we're all these are really, really critical times, and it's we're all called right now to do whatever we can to move beyond the places we're in to preserve our planet and our ability to even imagine a future.
Before I ask you the last question, where can we read your work? Where can we find out more about you, Mary Jo?
Well, I teach at the University of Missouri, and you can go to the University of Missouri website and write my name.
Okay.
And I'm there.
Okay, wonderful. And are there any publications, anything that you want us to read or that you think would be helpful as we find out more about the value of storytelling and connecting it to our lives as humans? Anything that you've encountered that resonates with you that you want to share?
You know, I think that there are lots of people that are writing about that right now. I think it's there's lots of things out there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say just one, because I think there's so many people who are thinking and writing about that right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, let me ask you the one question, and that is, what one thing do you want us to know? What one thing comes to your mind that you feel is just critical for us as human beings, people, creatures of the planet, that you want us to know from your own personal experience?
Well, I'm going to say something that I learned from Starhawk. Mm-hmm. And what Starhawk wrote about in a book called The Fifth Sacred Thing is, she said, "Come and eat at my table." Mm-hmm. And for me, that really resonates, because if you invite someone to come and eat at your table, and they accept, you're both changed. And so that for me embodies that idea of encounter, but it's not just okay.
Hello.
But it's I am going to be present to you, and if I am going to be present to you, and you're going to be present to me, we can't stay who we are. We have to be willing to really engage, and if we're really going to engage, then we're both going to be changed. And so, come and eat at my table.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Marvelous. Thank you for listening to this episode of Arts on Air. The theme music you hear, Cherimoya Groove, was produced by Debbie Woodholton and Arnold Graham. A detail from the painting Girl in Clouds by Chevette Williams is the artwork you see. A special shout-out thank you goes to Dr. Robert Rottenberg in the Anthropology Department at DePaul University. If you'd like to contact me, I'd love to hear from you. send me an email at artsonair@gmail.com. I'm Debbie Holton. I hope you'll join us next time on Arts on Air.